Good evening, everyone. Good to see all who have braved the elements tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn they'd like to sing? And I was going to make the suggestion if the folk on the right want to come over to the left. But if you're happy to stay where you are, I'll not move you. I'll leave it up to you. But has anyone got a favourite? Sorry? 441, 441 in your hymn book. 441 in your hymn book. 441. Hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid. The hymn number 441 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. Just look to the Lord in prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing and help among us even here this evening. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before thee this evening hour in and through the precious and worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we approach unto thee. And Father, we thank thee tonight for that name that is higher than every other name. We thank thee that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank thee that his name is his ointment poured forth. We thank thee for the healing and the salvation that we find in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank thee, Father, that he died for us upon the cross and that he rose again, and that he is alive forevermore at thy right hand in heaven, and that there he pleads and intercedes for us as the people of God. And Father, we thank thee for the words even of this hymn that we have been singing. We thank thee that thou art one that holds the hands of thy people, and thou art the one that has promised to sustain us. Our Lord, thy word says that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, as thy people, that we are safe and secure in the hand of Christ. How Christ could say of his people, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy that finds us here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. We thank thee, Lord, for journeying mercies for each one of us here tonight, and enabling us, Lord, to gather in this fashion around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Lord, bless each head bowed before thee this evening, O God, we pray. Encourage thy people, lead thy people on with thyself. Lord, draw us closer, Lord, to thee, and help us day by day to walk more and more by faith, and less by sight. Lord, our prayer would be that thou would increase more and more in our lives, and that we of ourselves might decrease, that thou would help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that others might see and know that we've been to Jesus, that we belong to Christ our Savior. Lord, cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's precious blood tonight. Father, outpour thy Holy Spirit upon us. Bless us around thy word. Bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. And may we go home tonight rejoicing that we've met with thee, that we've heard the voice of God to our hearts. Remember any that cannot come tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. Lord, bless them, we pray. And remember all the families associated with this church and congregation. Lord, unite each one in the Lord. And where there are needs regarding sickness and illness, Lord, at this time, Lord, draw near and lay on thy healing hand. Remember others that have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, comfort their hearts and fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. Again, we thank thee for the meetings here last Lord's Day and all whom thou didst bring in under the sound of thy word. And Father, we pray that thou wilt speak on by the still small voice of God, especially in the hearts of those that were in unsaved. And Father, we pray that even through thy word and through thy truth, O God, that by thy Spirit such will be made wise unto salvation. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, and wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, Lord, grant the blessing of God upon it. And Lord, we pray that in mercy, that even in these days in which we live, that thou would visit our land with revival and with grace from on high. Abide with us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Grant us a gracious sense of your presence, and do every heart much good. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. I'm going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets, Zephaniah, chapter number 3. And we're reading from the verse number 8 of the chapter. If you work back from Malachi, you come to Zechariah, Haggai, and then the little book of Zephaniah. And we're turning to Zephaniah, chapter 3, and the verse 8. And while you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. I know it's not a pleasant night for driving. We appreciate all who've been able to come tonight. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word, around the throne of grace and prayer. Do please remember the services on the Lord's Day, morning, 12 noon, the evening gospel at 7. The preacher at both services, Mr. Ronnie McLean, George Walker, God willing, along to sing at night. We'll be ministering over in Kilskerry. Value prayer for the ministry there also. And then, of course, the children's meeting here Friday night, 6:30. And then the youth fellowship at 8. Do pray for those meetings also in the will of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 and the verse number 8. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. For beyond the rivers of Ethiopia my suppliants, even the daughter of my disperse, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, as saith the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 20, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his word to all our hearts. The text of Scripture I want us just to look at before we get down to prayer are those words that you find there in verses 16 and 17 of Zephaniah chapter 3, where it says in the middle of verse 16, fear thou not, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, he will save. Now Zephaniah was the last of the minor prophets before Israel went into 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Zephaniah himself was a descendant of King Hezekiah, and he prophesied during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah. And his ministry was marked by solemnity. In chapter 1 of this book, he tells there of the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem by the Chaldean army because of Judah's sin against the Lord. In chapter 2, we see how he calls Israel to repentance and also tells of God's judgment upon the surrounding nations because of their sin likewise. But then in chapter number 3, we see how the tone of his message changes, for here he tells how Israel would return from their captivity, and he also tells of how God's favor and God's grace would be upon them again as a nation. Yes, God was going to do a gracious work of reviving and reformation among them and in their midst. Yes, God was going to cleanse away their sin. There would be a removal of their trouble and their judgment. And as a people, they would sing and rejoice again in the Lord and before the Lord. And to encourage the people in this matter, we see how Zephaniah speaks a gracious word of consolation to them. And we find that word of consolation in our text here this evening in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where he says to the people, fear thou not, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. As well as being a help and encouragement to the Lord's people, in the day of the prophet Zephaniah, these same words are also a consolation, yes, an encouragement to you and I as believers tonight, as we too would seek to serve the Lord and witness for the Lord in our own day and generation. As we would then consider this word of consolation, there's a number of thoughts I just want to share with you, and may it be an encouragement and blessing to your souls tonight. Notice first of all here how we see a call to diligence in Christian service. Notice there what our text says there at the end of verse 16. It says, "Let not thy hands be slack." Yes, upon their return from captivity, God's ancient people, they were not to be weak or negligent or careless or indifferent about God's work. Rather, they were commanded to be diligent and earnest in the work of the Lord. Upon their return from captivity, the walls of Jerusalem needed rebuilding. The temple also needed to be rebuilt. And in all of these matters, they were to be most diligent. The message of the Lord to them was this: let not thine hands be slack. And we see how a similar command is given by the prophet Haggai in the following book, in Haggai chapter 2 and the verse number 4, where it says at the end of verse 4 of Haggai chapter 2, it says, "Be strong and work." And this was the command of the Lord to the people of God regarding their service for God in that time and in that generation in the day of the prophet. And child of God, can I say this is the Lord's call and command to you and I also tonight as believers in the Lord. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse number 58. Look at what we read there at the end of that chapter. It says, and this is to you and I who are saved, to all God's people. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Think again of the words of Christ in Matthew's gospel when he speaks to his people and he says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And the thought there is of diligence and earnestness in the work of God. If we think tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he who was the perfect servant of God, he was ever about his Father's business. In John 9, verse 4, he says there, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." In Christ's life and heart, there was that continuous compulsion and burden to do the Father's work. And this is how it is to be with you and I also as believers. Yes, when it comes to God's work, we're not to be fearful or negligent or faint or indifferent. Rather, we are to be diligent, wholehearted, earnest in all our work for God. Think of what the Bible says of Joshua and Caleb right to the very end of their days. The Bible says they wholly followed the Lord. There was that earnestness, that compulsion, that diligence in their heart and soul regarding the things of God in their day and generation. And oh, that might ever be our testimony as well. And let us pray, yes, as believers, that daily God would give us that constant burden, compulsion, and indeed desire for his work, his cause. As a candle is made to burn, so you and I as Christians, we are saved to serve. Yes, there is a call here to diligence in Christian service in this word of consolation. But not only do we see a call to diligence in Christian service, you see something else here in this word of consolation, and it is the mention of a blessed companion. Yes, a blessed companionship is mentioned. Look there at the beginning of verse 17 of Zephaniah chapter 3, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." And the promise here was of the Lord's near presence among his ancient people upon their return from captivity. And my, this was the antidote, the remedy to their fears and to their faintings. Indeed, this is why Zephaniah says to them in verse 16, "Fear thou not." Why? "Because the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." The Lord promised to be with them. And again, a similar assurance was given by the Lord himself through his prophet Haggai. Go down again to Haggai chapter 2 and the verse number 4. Yes, Zephaniah ministered before the captivity, but he foretold how there'd be that return from captivity. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, they ministered after the captivity when Israel returned. And look at the promise there of the Lord's presence in Haggai chapter 2 and the verse number 4. The Lord says, "Be strong and work," at the end of the verse 4, "for I am with you." The Lord's promise was to be with them. Look again at verse 5 of Haggai chapter 2. At the latter part of that verse, the Lord speaks to his people and he says, "So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not," the promise again of the presence of the Lord with them and round about them. By the Lord here that is mentioned in Zephaniah chapter 3 in the verse number 17, it says, "The Lord thy God," the Lord there is Jehovah. That's what the word Lord there means, Jehovah, the God of heaven. He who is eternal. He who is unchangeable. He who is altogether sufficient, all powerful. You notice there in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4, he's called the Lord of hosts. In other words, all the angels of heaven are at his disposal. They're under his command. What a companion, what a friend they had in the Lord of hosts, in the Lord God in their midst. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." And child of God, can I say to you tonight, this is your blessed companion as well as you seek to serve the Lord, as you seek to witness for the Lord and for his honor and glory here in this scene of time. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Look at verse number 10 of the chapter. And I encourage you, believer, to mark this verse in your Bible. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Believer, in all your service for God and all your Christian duties and witness, the Lord of hosts is with you. That's the promise. He is near to help you, to assist you, to support you, to supply your needs, to give you strength, to protect, to defend, and to deliver. What a promise, what a companion. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And you know, with such a companion, yes, we have nothing to fear. It says there in Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Here in Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 16, the Lord says, "Fear thou not, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." What a companion, and having the companionship and the friendship and the near presence of the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And look at verse number 14, verse number 15 of that chapter. And here we have the Lord's promise to Moses as he was leading the children of Israel to the promised land. No doubt Moses was a man of like passions, like as we are. He had his fears, he had his concerns. But notice the great promise of the Lord to him. And Exodus chapter 33 and the verse number 14, the Lord says, "And my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And then notice the prayer of Moses in the following verse. "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." My Moses knew the blessing, the bounty, the benefit of the Lord's presence with him. Hence he prayed, "If thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence." But God gave him that glorious promise, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Yes, the prayer and the burden of Moses, the man of God, the servant of God, as he led the children of Israel. And Christian, I encourage you, make those words of Moses the prayer of your heart day by day in all your work and witness for Christ, that you might know and be conscious of the presence of the Lord with you, round about you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, the Bible says, is mighty. The hymn writer says, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow. So think of the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Who was with them? The Son of Man, the Lord, was with them. In the midst of the fire, the Lord gave them grace and strength in their witness and in their service for the Lord. And Christian, that's the Lord's promise for you tonight in this meeting. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Fear thou not. Yes, we see here a call to diligence in Christian service. Blessed companionship that is mentioned. Notice one final thing in this word of consolation. Notice a glorious promise that is made, or if you like, a glorious promise that is given. It says there, he of the Lord, he will save. It says, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Notice those words. What a promise. He will save. The promise here was of the Lord's blessing, the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's salvation. This was a promise to encourage God's ancient people upon their return from captivity in the building again of the walls of Jerusalem and the building again of the temple the second time and all their worship and all their service of the Lord, that the Lord would give deliverance, the Lord would save, the Lord would bless, and the Lord would meet their needs. Believer, can I say this is a promise also to encourage you in your service for the Lord. Take it as a promise from the Lord tonight to your heart and to your soul. He will save. In the covenant of redemption, God has ordained in eternity past to save a people for his honor, for his glory. You turn with me in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see there how Paul speaks to us in the opening part of that chapter about that covenant of redemption and saving a people for his honor and glory. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 6 of the chapter. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him that's chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And there we read of a people who will be saved for the honor and the glory of God. He will save. The great purpose of Christ coming into this world and dying upon the cross was to save a people from their sins. Remember the message of the angel to Joseph? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He has come, yes, to deliver souls from the power of Satan. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he's come to deliver souls from sin's condemnation and the guilt of their sin. The Bible says of God, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And he's come to deliver souls from hell and from the wrath to come, the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he's come to save souls and give souls a place in God's heaven. Christ says, I am come, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says of his people, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he has come to give us victory over the powers of darkness, even in this life, in this world. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and the latter part of that chapter deals with the Christian's warfare in this life. But there is victory for the Christian in that warfare. And you see mention made of that victory in verse 10 and verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6. where Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Brethren and sisters in Christ, these blessings, we've just mentioned them, we've just outlined them. They're all bound up in the promise of our text tonight, where it speaks of the Lord and says he will save. Indeed, believers, you would think tonight of God's work here, not only here in Enniskillen, but further afield. This promise in our text tonight is a promise for you to plead before God in the place of prayer, where it says of the Lord, he will save. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." God's promises are sure. Indeed, it was Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, who said, "God's promises are to be our pleas in the place of prayer." Child of God, here's a promise tonight for you to plead in prayer. And indeed, in all your seasons of prayer, text says, he will save. Oh, and in the week and in the year that lies before us, even in God's work, let us humbly ask the Lord to save souls. Here in Enniskillen, those that attend this church, those that are reached through the various outreaches of this church, those that are reached by our missionaries, both near and far, for the Lord's arm and the Lord's power has not diminished. His power has not changed. And he is able to save to the uttermost. It says here, "Fear thou not. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save." Oh, let us plead this promise tonight before the Lord and before the throne of grace in prayer. Amen. Well, just turn again, please, to our hymn book before we get down to prayer. Hymn number 423. 423, that hymn that we mentioned earlier in our message. "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown." 423, and we'll stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Remember the services on the Lord's Day. Pray for our brother, Mr. McLean, as he comes, that God's blessing would be upon him. Let us pray, even as we've read tonight, that the Lord would save, the Lord would save souls. Let us pray for you and young families also to be drawn in this year. Remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade, that God's blessing would be upon that week by week, and all the meetings concerned, and that boys and girls would be saved, that there the Lord also would save. Remember the mission as well. It'll not be long coming into March. Pray for that area of Springfield and for the ministry of God's word, that God would draw near, blessing the visitation and the week beforehand around the doors and in the meetings, and that the Lord would save in that community. Remember the sick and the elderly as well connected with us, that they would know the Lord's touch. Remember our missionaries. Miss Margaret Russell has went out today to Kenya for a period of time to labour there in place of the Pattersons. So remember her. Joy Gillespie also returned to Nepal. Remember Colin and Noel on the Lord's Day commence a mission up in Macrolin, Orange Hall, for a week. So pray for that. And also value prayer for the Consider Christ outreach for Selbridge down in Kildare at the beginning of February. So just remember some of these matters, and whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, encourage as many as possible to pray right through to about 9:15 or so, one after the other, as the Lord would lead us in prayer. Remember, ask our brother Noel Foy to lead us off in prayer, and then also maybe our brother Jeffrey Scott, and then one after the